smuggling scheme would, I guess, to their way of thinking, prejudice national security. You cannot reveal it in open court. It has to all be done in a secret session. And that's what happened to me, and it happened to Ollie North, and it happened to Manuel Noriega.
Well, one more story I'd like you to tell, and that is you were in Vietnam, and of course you were doing everything you could to win the war, and finally one of your officers called you in and told you we weren't there to win. Give me that quickly.
Well,
then,
it wasn't one of just my officers. It was General Fred Wyatt. General Wyatt, four-star general, tall Texan, was the daddy rabbit. Westmoreland had gone, and General Wyatt, I was in charge of a special operations unit called B-36. We had other code names, but that was our basic unit designation. And I had Cambodians. I did not speak Cambodian, and many of the operations that we ran, blowing up bridges, conducting raids on enemy headquarters, were high visibility. I got as much fire from my back, from our own people, as I did from the front a lot of times. And so I went to General Wyatt to see if I couldn't get him to release volunteers from the Long Bend jail. And I could train these Americans in about 30 days in guerrilla warfare, and at least we could speak the same language. And I thought that they might end up being superb guerrilla fighters. But Wyatt said no, that he couldn't send Americans where we went. I reminded him that I was an American. He said, no, you're special forces. He said, if I were to release anyone to you and they were to write a letter home to where what you were doing or where you were at, then the Congress would be all over us. He told me then, he said, Bo, stop trying to win the war. This is, quote, I'll never forget it. I had been in Vietnam since 1964. This was 1968. I came home in 1969, just completely disgusted. General Wyatt said, Bo, stop trying to win the war. He said, come up on the general staff where you can get ahead of your contemporaries. He said, all you're going to do is just get yourself killed. He says, you're not going to win the war, and I'm not going to win the war. When I mentioned, I said, General, you know, I know that I can't win it, and not you can't even win it by yourself. I said, but we've got to try every day because of all the lives and the limbs and the liberty that's been lost in this struggle. And then he said, Bo, he said, no. He said, we're not going to win this war. We're not meant to win this war. He says, use this war to get ahead of your contemporaries. Well, it blew my mind. I didn't care much about getting ahead of my contemporaries. I'd already resigned myself that I was probably never going to come back alive. And when I left Vietnam, believe me, you talk about post-war stress syndrome. I think I had it. I went up on a mountain in northern Mexico to figure my life out. And I'm very happy to say that I, among books of philosophy and yoga and a lot of other type philosophies, I took along a Bible. And I came down off that mountain realizing that that I believe that God had spared me for a good purpose, and I fully intended to dedicate the rest of my life to serving my human beings upon this earth. That didn't mean going around destroying them.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to just take you now to an interview we did with Sarah McClendon. And Sarah McClendon has been in a correspondent, a writer in Washington, D.C. for really many, many years. And very often she'll sit up in the front row at the press conferences of the White House, and she asks a Bill Clinton embarrassing questions. Now, we're going to talk, you're going to hear Sarah telling about the instance where she asked Bill Clinton about the drugs being smuggled into MENA Airport. And you're going to hear her story of what Bill Clinton said when he was asked about the CIA involvement in drugs coming into MENA. Actually, I remember reading the article in the Wall Street Journal that quoted this interchange, except they deleted the fact that she referred to George Bush and only mentioned the fact that she referred to Ollie North. The only other publication that picked this up was the American Spectator, that mentioned that she had referred to George Bush, but deleted the fact that she had referred to Ollie North, who was their hero. So here's Sarah McClendon, and understand that this lady has been on the Washington scene really for many, many years. She knows that the government is involved in this entire tragedy of drugs. So here's Sarah McClendon talking to you as she appeared on our program.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah?
You don't know it, but your government is doing worse things than that.
Oh, I know they are, and that's one reason why there are a lot of people out here.
And that's one reason why you ought to know what's going on, and rather than just go out here and believe somebody who's getting up on a corner and saying, we want our guns. You should know what's going on. We are killing people and killing Americans from death squads that exist in cells in different departments of government today.
Well, you tell us about that.
And we're sometimes saying they're suicide.
Well, you tell us about that, because I'd really like to get that.
You know, there's a woman who's a specialist on suicides in the Army. There have been about 80 or 90 in the last few years. And works for a congressman, and she's made a specialty of this. And she says it's funny that the suicide usually takes place in the area where the soldier has found out something.
I see.
Found out something secretive, maybe narcotics. Whenever there's a suicide at an airport, she's very suspicious.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about, you addressed the president the other day, and you asked him specifically the question about the drugs and
Yes, I did. There has been, I've been writing about it for over 2 years, that there is a rim of bases from Florida to Arizona in the southern part of the United States. Set up by George Bush when he was vice president, and continuing when he was president, and all of the North who helped run it. And these bases was run by the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat.
Let's go right ahead.
The Central Intelligence Agency runs them, and these bases were to bring in narcotics from Central and South America and bring those in for sale in this country so that they could get money to carry on more secret operations in the CIA and also buy guns to take back to the rebels in the Contra rebels in Central America, in Nicaragua.
Now, what was Bill Clinton's involvement?
Well, Mena, Arkansas was a small base, a municipally owned little base down in Arkansas, and a congressman, a Republican congressman named John Hammersmith, who was a very good close buddy of Bush, he helped them set this thing up, and it's been operating there for years. And the Republicans have been going around here writing and writing, it's all Clinton's fault, Clinton did it. And that's utterly absurd. Why don't the Republicans admit that George Bush did it and that all the North did it? And why don't they admit that the CIA is behind it, that we should investigate the CIA and do something about the CIA running the country?
Well, we're not going to argue with you there at all, because we do believe that there's an invisible government and CIA
involved.
Well,
I asked Clinton, I said the Republicans are blaming you for the existence of Mena Air Force Base in Arkansas, and that base was set up, I know, by George Bush and Oliver North and the CIA. I said, now, did they tell you that it had to be there because of national security? See, everything is done excuse of national security.
That's why we have to have so many secrets from the American people.
What did you say?
We have a lot of secrets from the American people, but always in the name of the national security.
That's right. And this concept has been fed and again and again, and it's fed to Congress, it's fed to everybody, and it's an excuse they use. So when I asked him this, he said, this was a total federal operation.
This is Bill Clinton answering
this
your question.
This is Bill Clinton's answer at a public press conference.
Okay,
to my
fine.
Friend.
Now, was this written up in the major media?
No. The major media ignored it completely.
And the Wall Street Journal, though, did mention it.
Well, now, here's what happened. And that was on October the 7th. And for Clinton to say it was a federal operation, that was an admission that he knew about it, that he knew it was George Bush and Oliver North and the CIA. And he said that the state had nothing to do with it. Well, the Washington Post and the New York Times printed excerpts of the president's press conference, but left out this question as of no importance. And nobody paid much attention to it, but it got on C-SPAN, and I began getting calls from all around the country about it. And the transcript of the press conference left out the word Mena. Can you imagine? I was horrified, and then American Spectator, run by a man named Terrell, they printed an article about it, said that I didn't frame my question very well. Well, I framed my question on purpose because I knew what I was trying to get was an answer in a certain way. And the Spectator said that they left out the name of Oliver North in describing this question.
Then the
next day, the Wall Street Journal came out also criticizing the form of my question and calling me a dirty name, a curmudgeon, and say it now that I ask off-the-wall questions. But if I ask an off-the-wall question, why did they give so much attention to the Wall Street Journal to it? And then they left out the name of George Bush.
I see. This is the New York Times left out George Bush.
No, this is the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. What did the New York Times do with it?
They did nothing.
I see. In other words, it never happened, according to the New York Times.
As far as I can tell, they've done nothing.
Okay, well...
They left it out of the excerpt of the president's press conference. And the amusing thing to me about this is when somebody leaves something completely out, it's almost as bad as writing it and saying it's not true.
Well, now, the interesting thing is that this is a Christian radio station, and the Christian... the Christians of America are being sold that Oliver North is our hero. He is the man who is running for Senate back in Virginia and probably will be running for the president, if not in 96, at least.
This is a man who is a total skunk. He is a liar. He is a cheat. He is a man who has brought in tons of narcotics for sale and delivery in this country. He is a man who does not believe in talking to the press. He was supposed to meet some people on the in a debate this morning, but he knew there'd be a man there from formerly worked for the Associated Press and knew about Oliver North's drug imports, and so he wouldn't go to the meeting. He sent his brother.
Do you always beat around the bush? I'm glad to hear you come right out and say it as you feel that it is.
Well, it's time that the American people knew what was going on. There are more stories left out up here in Washington than there are written.
But you actually put this out in your newsletter, and you let the people know the truth about what's going on.
That's not all I'm letting them know about. There are other things going on up here.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to just take you now to one more tape. And this is an interview with Mr. John Brown. And John Brown was a police officer working in Arkansas on the murder dealing with a couple of boys who were killed close to Mena Airport. So let's listen to this taped interview with John Brown, going into the background of all the murders that had occurred dealing related to these two boys that had been killed, presumably because they'd seen a drug drop at Mena Airport.
Is Mr. John Brown, and John's been with us before. He had a distinguished career as a law enforcement officer in Arkansas. He had a respectable platform from which to speak. His allegiance to law and order, however, caused him to actually quit the police force. He was working on the strange death of Kevin Ives and Don Henry, the two boys who were found on the railway track in Mena, Arkansas. And, of course, as you begin to get into the background of Mena, you found out that there had been a number of people who died who knew something about the death of the two boys. And eventually, John Brown was working full-time on the investigation. He was called in by his superiors and said, "You've got to quit the investigation. Orders have come down. We're not going to look into it anymore. You have another assignment." Well, then John Brown had two choices. He could either compromise his principles, do what he was told by his superiors, or give up his career in law enforcement. And John stood on principle, quit his job, and, of course, thus lost his security and his pension. But he's been continuing to investigate this. He's been working with Citizens for Honest Government. John, are you there? Okay, fine. Well, tell us a little bit about what's happening. You mentioned off the air there are all sorts of exciting things coming down the line in reference to the investigation about Terry Reed's investigation. Of course, Terry Reed wrote a wonderful book called Compromise, and I never get this right. Was it Bush, Clinton, Drugs, and Mean Air? And what was the title of that?
Bush, Clinton, and the CIA.
Bush, Clinton, and the CIA. Okay.
I apologize if you hear a beeping. I have call waiting, and I forgot to shut it off.
Okay. Well, those things do happen. Anyway, go ahead and tell us what's happening down there in Mena, because you're right on top of this whole drug scandal. Ties into our government, bringing drugs in so that they can keep a lot of the people in line, put a lot of people in jail, have a drug war so that they can justify looking at our bank accounts, monitoring our every move, all in the name of taking care of those wicked drug dealers. Whereas if you study what's going on at Mena, you realize the government is bringing in an awful lot of, or somebody within the government is bringing in an awful lot of drugs. And it's the old story. It's the story of the opium wars, where the British government fought a war with China. Why? Not to do away with opium, but so that they could use it to keep the population of China and under control, so that they could manipulate the people. Because once people are on drugs, they certainly don't think about ideas of liberty and freedom. And these These ideas, these abstract ideas, which have brought this wonderful heritage of freedom that we have here in America. John, why don't you pick up the story?
Well, basically, the people who, those of you who have read Terry Reed's book, Compromise, are really very well aware of some of the allegations that he made in that. Excuse me. Mr. Reed had worked for the CIA. He was... in Mexico, left Mexico and came back to Arkansas, of all places. And to make the story very short, he had had an airplane stolen. He had been set up, and it was recovered by a member of Governor's security, or Governor Clinton, at a Little Rock Airport. Supposedly, they were walking down the flight line. I think the first story they told was, and the wind blew the door hanger open, the door to the hangar open, and they just happened to recognize the tail number on the plane as that of a plane that had been stolen. Okay? Number one, let me explain something to you. Members of Governor's Security do not do investigations. Number two, I've spent 16 years in law enforcement, and to look at a tail number on an aircraft and realize that it's stolen, it's just almost impossible. You'd have just had to get through reading the message about it. Number one, that type of information is not normally disseminated to Governor's Security. Anyway, when it went to trial, Mr. Reed, it was proven that Mr. Reed was not guilty. They had alleged he had had tried to basically cheat his insurance out of the insurance money and keep the plane. That was true. That was not true. That he did not steal his own aircraft. And the judge even sanctioned somewhat the state police officers involved in it. And the reason I'm telling you this is that there are some real revelations going on in Little Rock today, yesterday, the day before. Terry Reed has been in Little Rock doing depositions. He has deposed some state police officers, former state police employees, and intends to depose more state police officers in the very near future. One of the people that was deposed was L.D. Brown. Okay? I don't know if y'all are aware of an article that just came out not long ago in the Spectator magazine.
Right. That's where he admitted that he had given, actually delivered money in an envelope to Bill Clinton.
Yes, he had been involved, but Bill Clinton had actually got him a job with the CIA, and he had actually flown two flights with Barry Seals. And when he learned about the drugs and the money, you know, he had been given two envelopes of money for his services rendered, if you will. When he learned about the drug shipments coming back, he approached Mr. Clinton and said, you know, my God, you know, we're bringing back drugs, is his story. And Clinton looked at him and said, that's okay, that's Lassiter's deal, don't worry about it. And, of course, that's Dan Lassiter, the reputed bond daddy out of Little Rock that went to jail with Roger Clinton for cocaine. The interesting thing is everybody's tried to make Terry Reed out to be a nut, okay, a liar and everything else. But let me tell you, I've been involved somewhat with Terry over the past week and some of these depositions, and I can't hurt his case by telling what's being said. I'll only say that there has been massive corroboration, okay, of what Terry Reed has alleged from the very beginning.
In other words, this
one, it has been proven that records were being kept on Mr. Reed, and those records were shredded. The person that shredded the documents have been deposed.
And they've admitted that they shredded the documents.
Yes, they have admitted that they shredded documents.
And who ordered them to shred them? Will they say?
Excuse me?
Did they say who ordered them to shred the documents?
Dr. Stan, I can just barely hear you.
Okay, have they told you who ordered them to shred the documents?
Yes, and that person is to be deposed in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So there's great things happening. There's been further cooperation through some other witnesses that Mr. Seal was tied to Mr. Clinton. There seems to be a lot of excitement among everybody that has dealt with MENA because of some of the things that are coming out in the Terry Reed trial and depositions in preparation for the trial. And that trial goes off in September. I'm not sure of what day. But it's made a lot of people nervous in Arkansas. There's going to be a lot of problems for some of the law enforcement officers in Arkansas.
Well, I think that I have no sympathy for a dishonest police officer. We have to have people within police forces who are reliable, who are not accepting bribes, and are not compromising their a position at allowing drugs to come into the country. And basically, we know it happens. I just think it probably happens more in Arkansas than most places. Do you think that's a valid situation, a valid statement?
Sir?
Do you think there's a lot more corruption in Arkansas than in most places?
No. To be honest with you, I think there's more in Chicago.
Well, maybe
no, really. You'd be surprised the tentacles that leave Little Rock and go right straight to Chicago, Illinois.
Well, is that a tie-in to mafia, who is it tie-in to?
More into the trade market.
Okay.
Trade marketing world and things. I mean, there's a lot of things that seem to stem that direction. But, excuse me, I was in Chicago not long ago speaking, and I had some appointments while I was there doing some investigative work. And it's really amazing. Of course, you have to remember that Hillary is from the Chicago area. The interesting thing is, you know, when you back up and look at the whole perspective of this thing, as I've had to do, I mean, not that I wanted to, I've kind of been left without a choice. But when you look at it.
Go ahead. We had a little problem there. Go ahead.
Okay. When you look at this overall thing, you find that, let's face it, Bill Clinton is a good old boy that may or may not have messed with drugs some, okay, that just met the right people to get him where he needed to be.
But it seems that there's no question at all that he knew about the drug running. He was getting payoffs from this.
No, there's no question about it at all.
Okay, fine. And isn't it strange that the congressional and Senate hearings aren't touching that at all, at least not to date?
Not at this point, they're not.
Okay. In fact, you know,
one of the big things in the Senate hearings, I know we had talked earlier, and you said you watched the Waco hearings, and we had taped the Senate hearings on Whitewater. Now, they've been interviewing the, can't remember the Secret Service agent's name that let him in Foster's office, but anyway. The interesting thing, Maggie Williams, and I mean, this is...
Okay, well, I'm going to just end the tape here right now. If you question at all that there is an interplay between the mafia and drug running and the Central Intelligence Agency, a wonderful book written by Chuck Giancana. He was Sam Giancana's brother. Now, Sam Giancana, for many years, was the godfather of the mafia here in America. Judith Exner was his mistress. He was also Jack Kennedy's mistress. You can read her book about Sam Giancana. Bobby Kennedy was out to get Sam Giancana. But the fascinating part of the story is what Chuck Giancana relates. Sam, before he was executed, and incidentally, Sam was to testify before the Church Committee, a committee of Congress that was investigating the relationship between the mafia and the CIA, and Sam Giancana had been subpoenaed. And 5 days before he was supposed to testify before the Church Committee, and of course, Sam Giancana never would have, as a matter of principle, would have revealed his relationship to the CIA, but Sam Giancana was assassinated. But if you read the story that Sam Giancana told Chuck Giancana, the CIA and the mafia were working hand in glove. In fact, Sam Giancana was so convinced that the CIA was working with him that he actually was willing to turn part of the operation in America over to his subordinates and work elsewhere because he felt that the CIA would always defend the mafia, that covered for them repeatedly, that insisted on many investigations of the mafia being dropped. And, of course, the double cross, that's the title of the book, Double Cross by Chuck Giancana. The double cross was that the CIA wasn't going to allow Sam Giancana to testify before the congressional committee, and it is assumed by the family that the CIA simply had Sam terminated. In other words, he was their man, he did their jobs, he did their assassinations, and if you want to know who it was who killed John Kennedy, if you want to understand why people are assassinated all throughout the world and who does it, read the book Double Cross. It's still available. I got it in paperback. It's an amazing story, and more amazing that you haven't even heard of the book, or most people haven't. The tragedy of today is most Americans find it very, very difficult to believe that the American government could be involved in drug running. Why? Because it justifies the war on drugs, and the war on drugs allows the federal government to increase its control over our lives, to monitor our bank accounts, to monitor how we move money in and out of the country, to put people in prison, to corrupt the entire structure of our society, using informants at every level to tap our telephones, to massively extend government control in the name of the war on drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing and frightening story. Now, if you agree with the message that we put out here, if you believe that our country is in jeopardy today, we'd love to hear from you. Our address, Post Office Box 13 in Santa Cruz, 95063. We certainly would invite you to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a gift of $20 a month or more, we'll send you the best tapes of the month. In fact, if you'd like a copy of this tape, why, you can simply just request that. That's $20 a month. You can call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and you can actually charge the membership in the Radio Liberty family of supporters to your Visa or MasterCard. We don't take American Express. And we want to thank those in the past who've contributed so generously to Radio Liberty. We ask for your continued prayers for provision and for protection. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our country's in trouble today. And if you just listen to these three tapes, you'll understand. And we're putting together a packet which is known as the Is There a War on Drugs? If you listen to the other three tapes along with this, you'll certainly, I hope, be convinced that the war on drugs is indeed a war on the American public. The other two tapes will include an interview with Monica Stevenson, who, along with her husband William Stevenson, one of my favorite authors, wrote a book entitled Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Gets into the drugs and the involvement of the American intelligence and the Central Intelligence Agency in drugs in the Far East, an interview with Joe Oshapinti, and lastly, an interview with Terry Reid, who wrote the book Compromise, Bush, Clinton, and the CIA. You'll find them fascinating. We hope that you'll duplicate these tapes and get them out across America, because, you see, once the very core of a government has become corrupted, that government will destroy all freedom. And, of course, behind America's government today is the invisible government. The head of the CIA has always come from the Council on Foreign Relations since the establishment of the Central Intelligence Agency by Alan Dulles, who was in Paris with Colonel House. Well, we're out of time, so until the next hour, don't even think about changing that dial.